This is the Beauty Authority Podcast, hosted by Dr. Vicky Bello
and Katrina Razon.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Beauty Authority Podcast. I am Dr. Vicky Bello, cosmetic dermatologist and surgeon.
I am Katrina Razon, yoga teacher, holistic health coach. Let's talk about anything beauty, health, and wellness. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly episode of the Beauty Authority. Today, I'll be discussing some very interesting topics and fun conversations with Dr. Vicky about quarantine and fat. So, around the world, quarantine weight gain from stress eating, and as a result of closed studios, closed gyms, limited space, and the lack of motivation has gotten a lot of people anxious and worried about their weight gain in this time. So, Dr. Vicky, what are you noticing in the clinic? Is there an increase in demand for fat reduction procedures as non-invasive procedures have become more advanced?
Yes, definitely. We're seeing a lot of people who've gained weight over this quarantine period because, of course, they're staying home, they're avoiding the gyms, they're kind of watching Netflix and lying down. And while they're watching Netflix, they're eating. So it's become quite a big problem. And so a lot more people are coming to the clinic for fat reduction. Maybe 50% are going for non-surgical and the other 50% are going for surgical fat reduction or liposuction because they feel it's a good time to recuperate at home. And since they're not going to work anyway, they want to emerge from the quarantine period like a butterfly. You know, suddenly there's going to be a big change in the way they look. So they're doing a lot of things to look better. Also, a lot of people aren't spending money on traveling or shopping. So they're spending money on themselves. So Bello is becoming quite busy with non-surgical fat removal and 360-degree liposuction.
So is liposuction still, does it still reign supreme when it comes to medical intervention for fat elimination?
Yes, liposuction is still the gold standard, but now we have a lot of non-surgical things. When I started my practice 30 years ago, you know, I wanted to become the laser queen of the Philippines because I was the first person to ever bring skin lasers to the country. And 1990 was the time everybody was, you know, lasers were just beginning. So we were all in grade one. Everybody from the States to Europe, everybody's in grade one. And I think that was a great time to come in because we all started together. And now it's sad because we're all the seniors teaching all the young people about lasers. So instead of investing in my clinic and making it beautiful, I just asked my father and my mother, who gave me capital, to please buy me two lasers. Because even then, lasers cost about $6 million each. And, you know, I wouldn't have money for my clinic anymore. So I spent $12 million at that time for lasers. And they were the first lasers. And then I also brought in liposuction because I've had a weight problem or a fat problem all my life. Everybody would always call me. I was 100 pounds when I was 7 years old, and I always felt very fat. So even if I taught aerobics and everything, because I eat so much sugar, chocolates, cookies, cakes, I couldn't control the weight. So I really thought liposuction was the perfect solution because I could get rid of my biggest enemy, which was fat. And that's really what happened. I became the queen of liposuction rather than the queen of lasers because everybody understood removing fat. And it was a new way of doing liposuction. It was not the plastic surgery way. It was a dermatology way with no downtime, you know, no overnight stay in the hospital. People were walking out of the clinic, so they really liked it and it was less painful. But going back to that, now the thrust seems to be non-surgical treatments. There are a lot of alternatives to fat removal, but of course, this is more for people who are not fat, but just have some little problem. So as I was telling you earlier, fat distribution depends on your race. So when I was in the States training with the inventor of tumescent liposuction, who was Dr. Jeffrey Klein, most of our patients, I would say 80 to 90% of our patients had saddlebags. So that's what I was doing all the time. Saddlebags, saddlebags. And even in France, or in Paris where I trained, it was a lot of saddlebags. When I got to the Philippines, I was shocked because there were no saddlebags. Very few people in the Philippines have saddlebags. Normally, they're people who are of mixed descent. For example, you're half Spanish and half Filipino. So you're so slim, so you don't see it. But I think if you did gain weight, you would probably gain it in the thigh area. And most of our patients who have saddlebags are all either half European or half Middle Eastern, but not Asian. In the Philippines, the biggest problem is the lower abdominal area, which is called the puson. And for some reason, even if people are thin, they still have a lower abdominal area that's fat. In fact, Ino Soto, the designer, was very controversial. 20 years ago, he said, there is no Filipina that's an international model quality because they all have a big waist and a lower abdomen. And everybody was bashing him. Thank God there was no digital stuff there, no social media. So, it just went around and people were so angry. But actually, in my practice, it's true that Filipinas usually don't have a small waist and they do have a big lower abdomen as compared to where I took dermatology, which was in Thailand, where they have the tiniest waists. They have 23 waists, 22. So this has made me understand that it's genetic. And the great thing is, before I became a doctor and a cosmetic surgeon, my career was as an aerobic instructor. And I did that because I can't stand doing something and not earning from it somehow. So when my ex-husband graduated from Harvard MBA, we were hired by Chicago. I mean, he was hired by Chicago Bank. And that's where aerobics began in 1990. And so I trained. Since I was there doing nothing, I had left second year of med school to get married. So while I was there, I trained on aerobics. And then I went to Los Angeles and trained with Jane Fonda, who was the queen of aerobics. And when I was teaching aerobics, I taught for about 13 years. I was really fascinated by the fact that people would work out so hard, but yet they wouldn't lose fat in certain areas. They would be thin, but they would have saddlebags, or they would have big arms, or they would have a big lower abdomen, even if they were already thin in other areas. So I said, what is the cure to this? So it was perfect for me that when I finished medicine and I got into dermatology and then cosmetic surgery, that I saw, oh, this is the cure. It's liposuction. There really are areas that are stubborn. And going back 30 years later, there are a lot of alternatives now to liposuction. I would say you could lose 50% of your fat that you want to lose with non-surgical waste. But if you really want to have a perfectly shaped body and get the curves that you want in the right places, liposuction is still the gold standard. But in the clinic, I would say 50% try non-surgical ways. So the most popular way to lose fat in the clinic right now is a combination of procedures. Not one procedure will do it. Our best combination is something called V-contour and either the Exilis or the Skin Reboot. So V-contour is putting, actually it's herbs only and flowers from Spain that you put into the fat. And what it does is it kind of melts the fat inside the fat cell. So we have to make it very clear to people that there is a difference between a fat cell and fat, okay? So the fat cell is the house for the fat. The fat is what you eat and you gain weight and it enters the fat cell. The reason you have more fat in certain areas is because you were born with more fat cells in a particular area. So as I said, for Europeans, it's a lot of fat cells in the saddlebag area. For Filipinos, it's a lot of fat cells in the lower abdominal area. So when the fat enters your bloodstream and it's looking for a place to live, it will, of course, gravitate towards an area that has a lot of fat cells. So it will fill up these fat cells that look like balloons, but with a very thick capsule. So this V-contour will melt the fat inside the capsule, but we need to also destroy the fat cell itself to get the fat out. So the Exilis and the Skin Reboot use radio frequency energy, same as Thermage, but it creates a lot of molecular movement inside the fat cell. So it's hitting the wall like a pool table. You know, the ball goes everywhere, back. And you're expanding the fat till it bursts the balloon. So now that the balloon is burst, the fat is already outside the balloon. The fat cell is kind of destroyed. Now you need to get the fat out of your body. And the way to do that is by using a lymphatic kind of drainage. So this Exilis and the Skin Reboot, they also have a way of massaging the fat out of that area, bringing it to your lymphatic vessels. And then, as you know, it goes to the disposable area, you know, through it will be excreted through our feces. So many people will say that after they've had treatment with Skin Reboot or with Exilis, that they're, I hate to talk about it, I hope you're not eating, but your poo becomes wet and kind of fatty because it has fat in it or oil. And that's the way you get rid of it. So that's one way. The other popular way of doing things that's gaining a lot of popularity because it's gaining a lot of Instagram posts, it has so much marketing, something that I tried like 8 years ago. And I really got traumatized because there is a side effect of this procedure that the people that manufacture the machines, they can't explain why it happens. And this is cryolipolysis or freezing fat. The most popular machine that does it is a CoolSculpt. Okay, so CoolSculpt.
So this is like cryotherapy for fat. Can you give a bit of an explanation to the listeners? Because I'm sure that a lot of them have also seen this trend on Instagram and on the very popular reality TV shows such as The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay, so cryolipolysis, when they first talked about it, I know the inventor of cryolipolysis. I was so excited because I thought it was a perfect thing to do. So what it does is they have this machine that sucks your fat in. Okay, it vacuums it in and it sucks it in. And basically, it's painless. You watch TV for an hour. It freezes your fat down to negative 11 degrees centigrade. And so your fat is frozen. And what they discovered is if you freeze your fat to that temperature, you destroy the fat cells. They call it apoptosis, the medical term, but basically, it breaks the fat. And then it shrinks and then it dies. It's dead already, but then it takes your body a while to get rid of it. It takes about a month to really get rid of it. So you sit in this machine that freezes your fat. After you remove this machine 1 hour later, you massage the area because it looks like, it really looks weird. It looks like a block of butter, like a, you know, a bar, it's about that size or two of the butter, 1 pound butter sizes. And then you massage it to soften the fat. And then over the month, again, it will be excreted through your lymphatic vessels and out your body. The problem with this is that there's sometimes an opposite reaction where instead of, and the great thing about this is that it doesn't harm your blood vessels. It doesn't harm your nerves, supposedly. But then there are side effects to this procedure that are not acceptable to me. And that's why I will never do it again. Because in the beginning, they never told me there were these problems. So I did do it and I had to deal with patients who had the problems. And of course, the patient will blame me and not the machine, right? But they didn't do full disclosure. So there are two very bad side effects. And I really would advise people to not do this machine because it could be you. It only happens in 1 in 200 people, but that's not that high. Initially, they told me it happens in 1 in 20,000 people. And I guess that was a little more acceptable. But even if they didn't tell me that in the beginning, they told me only when I started to have problems. And I said, you're lying to me because I'm seeing it in 1 in 200 people because we had done like 2,000 cases. And I knew that it was 1 in 200. It was only 5 years later they actually admitted to me that it was 1 in 200. So this is a warning to people, to doctors as well. Don't believe your sales rep. I mean, sometimes you release machines too early and they haven't really gotten to know it. And then it'll be our bad luck if we are the ones where the thing falls on. And of course, so I'm very, very careful with doing these things. The first problem that I hate, is that there is a reverse reaction. They call it hyperplasia. So instead of killing the fat, for some reason, it tricks your body to make more fat. You know, it makes more stem cells that makes more fat. So if you came to me with a little tummy, after a while, it becomes like three times the size. And they can't explain why it happens. And it happened to a few patients of mine, I would say 10. I was able to liposuction. The cure to that is liposuction. So it was perfect that I did lipo. So I lipoed. But there was one patient that really didn't want to do a liposuction because she was single. She had never been pregnant, and she was scared that somehow it would affect her uterus and her ovaries. It's not true. It's not true. But then people think that, and I couldn't dissuade her. And so she was going around with a bigger tummy for a long time. And then, of course, it was like she was so unhappy and crying, and I got so unhappy because, of course, I don't want that to happen to anyone. So I swore then that I would never use this machine again. I would never use cryolipolysis again.
Hi guys, before we move on with the rest of the show, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. If you're a podcaster and you need help with your show's data or even monetizing your show, go visit podmetrics.co and sign up for free using my code BEAUTYAUTHORITY. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to the Beauty Authority Podcast with Dr. Vicky Bello and Katrina Razon.
The other problem, which is really bad, is intractable pain. Again, they can't explain why it happens, but in some people, the pain after, since it's not supposed to be destroying nerves or blood vessels, they can't explain to me why suddenly there's pain. But I've had a couple of patients who've had pain after, and it's intractable. Intractable means that it does not respond to painkillers. Can you imagine? So here I am with patients who have pain and they can't respond to painkillers. It goes away after a while, but that's like 3 months of, so don't do this procedure, guys, because you don't know if it's going to be you who's going to be the unlucky person, or at least if you do it, you go into it mindfully and you know that this might happen to you and you don't get any surprises. So that's the second way of losing fat. That's very, very popular. It's the most popular way right now. I'm just saying, be careful. And then the third way is the Onda. So this one works on microwave technology. It's from Spain. It's very effective. And the great thing about the Onda wave is that it works on cellulite. Because that's another problem that women have because of high estrogen. So cellulite fat is not normal fat, okay? Cellulite fat is abnormal fat that has escaped. Okay, so when you look at the body, if you do an autopsy, you will see that it's skin, epidermis, dermis, subcutaneous, which is the fat. So that fat area is like if you eat lechon, can't?
Yes.
Okay, so you look at the skin, right? When you turn it around, there's fat. That's the fat that we get rid of with liposuction or any of these machines. And that fat sometimes escapes through the skin. That's why when you see cellulite, have you ever seen someone with cellulite?
Yes.
Yes. So you'll see that it's bumpy, right? It's kind of like lumpy fat. It is not smooth. That's because these fat cells, which are supposed to be in the third layer of skin, go to the first or between the first and second layer of skin. So you can see it through the epidermis. Then it's lumpy. Because what happens is that you create fibrous tissue that kind of holds it down. So it gets cramped into a very small space, so it becomes even more lumpy. It's really hard to treat cellulite. The Onda wave does treat it, but not 100%. I would say you would get 70% improvement. So I always tell the patients that I'm very truthful in my clinic. You want to try it. It will lessen your cellulite by 70%, but you will still have 30%. It's microwave energy, same practice as the V-contour. It causes movement of the molecules of fat inside this fat capsule until it causes enough pressure on the wall of the fat cell to break it. And then the fat comes out, and then the same thing happens. We need to drain it out with lymphatic drainage, endermology, and stuff like that. So I think these are the most popular ways of doing it. And people do come. So what they do first with the V-contour is you get the V-contour into the fat cell. Then 3 days later, you do an Exelys procedure using the radio frequency to destroy the capsule, and then the fat goes away. But you do this in areas. So for example, inner thighs, lower abdomen, arms, stuff like that. But you don't do it as a generalized loss of weight, right? And then of course, we couple it with telling them, hey, you have to start working out. You can't just do this. So they promise. We really give them a whole thing, lecture about change your lifestyle, change your diet, and then you can do this.
So we're going to read out a couple of questions sent in by our listeners. Hi, Dr. Bello. I want to do liposuction, but I heard the fat goes back to other parts of the body. Is this true?
So when we do a liposuction, you will already see the fat in the container. So obviously it's out of your body, okay? And we do it, we usually get a minimum of 1 liter of fat, which is a lot of fat. Normally, if you're big, we can get up to 5 liters of fat. So that's 5,000 ml. That's really huge. Now, about this going to another part of your body, this is what happens. When you do liposuction, you actually remove the houses, okay? The fat cell. So when you gain weight, there are less fat cells in that area, so you won't get fat there again. But you do have fat cells in other parts of your body. You're not going to have a big bump. Now, let's say you had a big stomach, we liposuctioned it. Now you're really, you know, you have a 25-inch waist, a flat stomach. It's not going to be a big bump on your butt. You know what I mean? But if there are a lot of fat cells in your butt, then that's now the second place that they like to live in. Of course, you do gain weight generally, like you do, but there's always one area that gains a little more weight. So it's not weird that you're going to have a hump, but you will still gain weight. That's why when we do liposuction, it's a long talk with the patient, and we always tell them this is like church. So if you have been a bad person and you've committed a lot of sins, you usually go to the priest and you confess to them, I've been bad. I've been eating a lot. I never exercise. And I've gained all this fat. And then the priest will say, okay, I forgive you, but don't sin again. So we always ask them, are you ready to change your lifestyle? Because we are only getting rid of the fat that you already have. I have nothing to do with your future sins. This is not a cure-all that you can just have lipo and then eat all you want. That's not the way it works. And we really encourage them to keep a different lifestyle by working out, eating healthier. We give them advice. We even used to have a life coach, which we don't anymore. But he would really talk to them about emotional problems. Are they eating? Is it an emotional binging? Stuff like that. So in a way, yes, it will go to other parts of your body, but it will be normal, okay? It won't be a lump in one part of your body.
I have another question sent in by a listener. Hi, Dr. Bello. I always see on your Instagram celebrities doing MyoSculpt and ElmSculpt. What does it really do?
So by the word ElmSculpt, MyoSculpt means they work on the muscle. So of course, our bodies are made out of many things, right? We have fat, but we also need to keep our muscles firm, right? Because if you have flabby muscles and you don't have any more fat, you're still going to have a tummy. So the MyoSculpt is very popular now, and the ElmSculpt, because there are no gyms. It's hard for people to go to the gyms because you're scared to be contaminated with COVID, especially when, you know, you're sharing the same weights, you're all breathing hard when you're working out, and you know that it's aerosol spread. So a lot of people are afraid to go to the gym. So more and more people are doing MyoSculpt. They come to the clinic, and the MyoSculpt contracts, for example, 25 minutes or 30 minutes in a MyoSculpt is like doing 30,000 sit-ups. The contraction on your abdominal area is 30,000 times. So it will really firm up your stomach if you're regular and you have to go to do MyoSculpt an M sculpt like you would in a gym. If you go to the gym 2 to 3 times a week to achieve a great body, you can't expect to achieve a great body by going to the clinic once a week. It has to be equivalent because it's really a workout, except you're lying down. And I find that it works really well on the abdomen and very well on the butt. So for me, it's been the butt. And the great thing about this, since Filipinos don't really have nice butts, another problem that we have. So I love being a doctor here because there's many body problems. So we don't have a nice butt because most people have, you know, like a flat or a small one. My sculpt and M sculpt increase the cell of the muscle cell, increase the size, the actual size of the muscle cell. So not only do you get a firmer butt, you get a bigger butt as well, and it's lifted and sexy. So it's a great thing to do. I had the machine in my house during COVID. I decided, since the clinic was closed anyway, and wow, I really like the way I look, my butt. But now I gave the machine back and I'm just working out. But at least the muscle cells got bigger, so my butt, I can tell because my shorts don't fit anymore. So I had to buy a whole new, you know, but it's nice of a butt. The butt is the new boobs, I think, in the sense that most people, because of the Kardashians, the best way to increase butt size is to just do fat transfer. But if you're like me and I've already had a liposuction since 1995, I have no more fat to transfer. So I really have to work it out. But you know, the Brazilian butt lift, that's just all fat.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of controversy around that procedure because it is very cheap to have a Brazilian butt lift. But, you know, there are a lot of shady doctors out there who are performing this procedure, and it actually has the highest mortality rate.
Oh my God, I didn't know that, really.
Yeah,
you hardly do it because most Filipinos have no fat to put in the butt. You know, it's too little. Like if you do the whole abs. What we're doing though, that's really working well, is transferring fat to the breast. And I think it's very safe. I mean, I've been looking at literature. It doesn't seem to be a problem. And since it's your own fat, you know, you can't bring somebody from a negative A to a B, full B, but you can bring someone from a negative A to a full A, which looks great because big breasts are out. People don't want big breasts anymore. Actually, the focus was on a bigger butt. But I didn't know, you know why? Because if people do it and they don't know how to do it, they might inject, if you're not careful, they might inject the fat into a blood vessel or an artery or something. And that would be an embolism and that would kill you. But if you do know what you're doing, then you're always checking. First of all, you don't use a sharp cannula. You have to use a blunt one that can't penetrate a blood vessel. Secondly, you always have to aspirate to make sure you're not inside, just to really make sure. And then, you know, you keep it a little more superficial because that's where the blood vessels aren't too big. You don't go too deep. But, you know, you really should be careful. You have to make sure that your doctor has done a lot of these procedures and is really, because everything in the wrong hands, whether it be a laser or even a scalpel, will go wrong if the person's not well trained.
Exactly. That's why it's always important to vet out anyone that you're seeking treatments of and always question treatments or services that are below the market price, I would say. And just always be careful with what kind of treatments you're seeking out. And you know, a lot of people, like our society is obsessed with the rectus abdominis, which is the typical, you know, six-pack abs.
And you know, you can create six pack with fat, but I think it's really nice on men, but I wouldn't do it on women.
The problem with being obsessed with the aesthetics of the rectus abdominis is the six pack abs. And, you know, I have a lot of students who tell me, you know, I do 300 crunches a day and I see nothing. And I always tell them, you know, like the core wraps around our body like a corset. So if you're not exercising the back, your obliques, and you're not exercising the pelvic floor or the TVA, the transverse abdominis, you're not going to see any results. Because the number one mistake I see people do is they'll do 300 crunches and then they sit down in front of the television or their computer. What you do is you undo all the hard work that you've done. And that's why the back is so, it's such an important core muscle. And a lot of people don't counterbalance a lot of the frontal core work with the back core work. And The reason why you aren't seeing results is because you're not exercising the pelvic floor. And even in my students, like whenever I talk about how important the pelvic floor is, you know, people are like, oh, I don't like talking about, you know, that area because it's so uncomfortable. But it's actually one of the most powerful muscles in our core. And I mean, for women especially, because we have to carry children in our wombs, and the pelvic floor is, you know, when you exercise it, it's almost like doing Kegels. But I'm telling you that if you work with your breath, and working with the breath is the only way you engage the pelvic floor, because it works with the diaphragm, also another important muscle group in our core and also in our lives, because it's literally how we breathe and take in oxygen and shed out carbon dioxide in our body. So that's just one thing to remember, guys. Stop doing these. If you see an influencer who isn't certified as a fitness instructor saying abs workout, you know that person is not credible, because the core is everything. It's the corset. It's not
just to let you know, though, that when you work with the MySculpt or the MSculpt, especially with your butt, you can feel your pelvic floor working out. It also works it out. You can feel the contraction. And the pelvic floor is extremely important because it's our source of pleasure. In a lot of times, married, right? And you have to have strong muscles so that, you know, you can give your partner pleasure as well. But anyway, that's another topic.
And we'll talk also, about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's also the reason for the puson as well, is because, you know, we live in a society where Filipino women from a very young age, you know, we're not encouraged to talk about like intimacy. We're not encouraged to talk about the pelvic floor because, you know, people kind of like look down on it, or they're like, you know, you're not supposed to talk about that. We're actually like conditioned to be ashamed of the pelvic floor at a very young age. So it's great now that we're normalizing this conversation, because the only way to exercise the pelvic floor is through exhaling out with pursed lips. So it's kind of like you're just blowing out little by little. So if you inhale through the nose, you can exhale, but very slowly throughout pursed lips. And that's the way you tighten the TVA. The TVA is the lower abdominal area that works with the pelvic floor. And you'll notice, like, you do these simple breathing exercises after all of your core work, and you'll notice a huge difference.
Okay.
It's pretty insane.
If you're interested in more about the pelvic floor, and all the muscles there, and the G-spot injection, and the Thermiva tightening of the vagina, let us know so we can have a podcast about it. But anyway, I'd like to end the show just to tell you, because people are always asking me, why do you call the bello liposuction 360 degrees? And I think this is a very important point. First of all, it's 360 because we do liposuction only under local anesthesia. Local anesthesia does two things. It anesthetizes the area, but more than that, it also changes the liempo, or the hard fat. It tenderizes it and makes it more like jello. The other thing is, most doctors do it under general anesthesia. And when you do it under general, you can't turn the patient. So we see so many patients coming to us from other doctors because they've only done the front, and then the back has still a lot of fat in the waist. So for example, the arms are a very difficult place to do it well, because liposuction is not just sucking fat out. It's also shaping it to look normal and look, you know, proportional to your body and look perfect. And so you can't achieve a nice arm just by doing the back of the arm, you know, like where you wave and it also waves the other direction. A lot of people have fat on the front of the arm. And because most doctors use bigger cannulas, you've seen them on Discovery Channel and all that stuff. You can't do it in the front because you'll end up with a divot. But because bello tumescent liposuction 360 degrees, you use tiny instruments like the end of a ballpoint pen. It's really small. It just takes more time, but we can really sculpt better, and we can make a whole 360 degree liposuction because we're not under general anesthesia. So we can turn the patient, even make them stand up, because in thigh work, you really need to make the patient stand up, because it looks different when you're lying down and it looks different when you're standing up. And you want to make sure that you look as perfect standing up as you do lying down, because you don't, You don't want to just have nice legs when you're lying down. So that's why we do a circumferential or 360 degree liposuction. Just because everybody's asking, what is 360 degree lipo? Anyway, we have to end the podcast because we're running out of time. But please write your questions and any topics that you want us to discuss. And we're going to see you next week. Bye, Kat. Thank you again for co-hosting with me and sharing so much knowledge. And I love the way you're such an intelligent person who can ask all the best questions and represent everybody out there and what they want to know.
Thank you very much, Dr. Vicky. And the same goes for you. Thank you for being a beacon light of knowledge, especially given all of your experiences and years in the industry. I'm sure our listeners are learning a lot from you.
Okay, bye guys. Please stay safe. And what? Stay happy. Sleep early.
Yeah, stay happy, sleep well, eat well, and laugh often.
Thank you for listening to the Beauty Authority Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe to the show so you won't miss out on new episodes.